Hey, good morning. We have a few announcements to make, and at the end, we also want to discuss, I did much more research into the bowl issue on Shabbos, some good news, some bad news, we'll discuss that. Just first, today's shir is Refuah Shleima for Velvel Zev Ben Rachel, and Hadassah Leah Bas Hashanah, we should have Refuah Shleima B'Seich Shorcha Yisrael. Next week, Be'ez Hashem, there will not be a shir. School is over for a lot of kids, I think for everybody school is over, and then but camp has not started yet. Next Tuesday for everybody. Some kids yes, some kids not. So we're just gonna keep it simple and not have a shiur next week. In 2 weeks, Baruch Hashem, I got permission from Arish Kolo, Rabbi Kraus, we all owe him a yashakayach, to continue this year in the summer. There was an interest to continue this year in the summer. Camp starts for a lot of kids at 9:30, so this year is gonna be from 9:45 to 10:30. I was discussing with Mrs. Goldschmidt, instead of continuing the Lamatas Malachos, which is more of a rigid topic, maybe some other people are available in the summer, not throughout the rest of the year, we're going to do the positive commandments of Shabbos. We're going to start with a little bit with preparing for Shabbos, but mainly the halachos of Hadlakas Neiros, which I taught in the Beis Yaakov, and there's a lot of halachos that you'll be very surprised about, Hadlakas Neiros, and we'll continue about Kiddush and Shal Shiddus, Havdalah, Siu Halachas, Be'ez Hashem, that'll be able to take us through the summer. And then Be'ez Hashem, assuming we'll continue next year, we'll get back to the Lamatas Malachos. I'm preparing now the Halachas of Bishul, and you know we'll work from there. One last thing, it was requested last week by you, and sort of by you also, but mainly by you, if I would just write up, just on one sheet of paper, an outline of the Halachas of Muksa. We spent five classes on Muksa. It's all on TorahAnyTime.com. And so, obviously, this is very, very bekitzer, very much in a nutshell. Didn't get into any details, but just the types of muksa, the permitted ways to move muksa, and just something about buses. So we'll give that out afterwards. Even the people that are not here, we'll I'm not going to punish them, and we'll save it for them. We'll give it to them in a couple of weeks, and so we'll give that out at the end of this year.
Thank you.
And then at the end of the show, we're going to discuss more about the ball. I'm afraid it's going to take all 45 minutes if we start discussing it. So let's just go on to the next malacha, and then we'll save a few minutes at the end for playing ball on Shabbos. So today's malacha, we're going to do the halacha of Kotzer. Right? The past 2 weeks, we did Zoreya and Chorish, and now we're doing Kotzer, which is the third malacha. Kotzer means to reap, which means to detach something from the ground or from a tree. We'll get into the details. Basically, to uproot something from where it is growing. And that is an Isser Mideraisa. It's one of the Lamatas Malachos, detaching or severing a growing plant from its source of growth. Detaching or severing a growing plant from its source of growth. So included in this is not only removing an entire flower or an entire blade of grass, but also just taking part of a living item. Just take a fruit from a tree or a leaf from a tree. It doesn't have to be the entire object, as long as it's just, even if it's part of it, that is also included in the deraisa. Even if it is fully grown, and even if it doesn't really need the tree anymore, it is still forbidden, you're still detaching it from its life source. There's a discussion if it's dried out already, maybe that's still midaraisa, perhaps that's only midrabanan, but basically, in most situations, it's still going to be forbidden. Even if you see something is dried out, basically, it's still going to be usur. Perhaps in one situation, which we're not going to get into, just to keep it simple. So it's basically across the board, it's going to be forbidden to do such an act. To walk on grass, now you'll notice sometimes, we discussed last week as far as walking on grass with high heels and boots and things like that, but that's as far as the Malach of Choresh. As far as the malach of kotzer, ripping off grass, you'll notice sometimes after you walk on the grass with the boot or something like that, you'll notice that there's grass stuck in your shoe or there's grass stuck in your boot. So, did you do something wrong? Was that an avera? So the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. I once heard a whole shir about this. The Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to, and whether it's wet or dry, you're allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. And the reason is that even if some of the grass happens to get detached, that was not your intention. It's what we call, as we spoke about, a dovish einem eschaven. It wasn't your intention at all to rip off the grass. And it wasn't for sure going to happen. It wasn't a psik resha. It wasn't for sure going to happen. Therefore, you're allowed to do it. If you see grass on your shoe, you do not have to do tshuva. You didn't do anything wrong. What about running in the grass or walking very, very fast through tall grass? So that the Mishnah Berurah says that you can't. Meaning if it's tall grass and you're running through, I don't know how many of you are going to be running through tall grass, but let's say your kids want to do it. So that the Mishnah Berurah says should not be done because you're running through the grass, and if it's tall, then we say that that's for sure going to happen. Not everybody agrees that such a halacha, the Mishnah Berurah does say it. Not everybody agrees to that because it's not for sure going to happen and I really don't care about it. If it's something that is like you have reeds, and sometimes you have tall reeds that are hard and brittle, that's more of a chance that that's for sure going to happen. Then for sure, you know, you should have your kids, let's say that are above chinuch or something like that, not run through such grass because that's going to break off the blades of grass or the reeds. But basically what it comes down to is if it's for sure going to be detached, then it should not be done. If it's not going to be for sure detached, then it would not be a problem. Just keep in mind that if you do find grass on your boots or on your shoes, so you didn't do anything wrong, but that grass is muksa. That grass is muksa. Once it's detached already, we say that that grass is muksa. It started off Shabbos being attached. So detached grass that was detached on Shabbos, that is going to be muksa. If you want to remove it from your shoe, you have to not touch it with your hands. You would have to look at the sheet, and there are enough from your memory as far as tilta begufo, and you would rub it off. We discussed last week where I'm allowed to scrape off my shoe, on cement, on walls, not on earthenware. On earth surfaces, that's something to keep in mind. Mushrooms are also forbidden mid-dairaisa to pluck off on Shabbos, even though we know that mushrooms do not get, they're not yonik, they don't get sustenance, they don't get nourishment from the ground, that's why they're shahakal. But still, we say that mushrooms, it is, after all, oikadavar megadula, it's still, after all, you're taking it from its life source, so a person is not allowed to remove mushrooms from the ground on Shabbos. Flower pots, we discussed very briefly 2 weeks ago. We said 2 weeks ago that Rav Moshe Feinstein says flower pots are muksa. I made it sound like everybody disagrees with that. I did some more research into it. There are plenty of people that do agree with such a thing, that flower pots are muksa anyway. So as far as Zoreya, taking flower pots with holes outside, that should not be allowed. But also as far as kotzer, as far as if you have a flower pot with a hole outside and then you bring it inside, so then you just disconnected the fact that now it could get nourishment through the hole from the ground, that could also be a problem of kotzer, perhaps mederaisa, perhaps mederabanan. But anyways, if it's muksa, you should not be moving around flower pots on Shabbos, inside the house, outside the house, with a hole, without a hole. Either way, definitely preferably it should not be moved. That's as far as living plants, not as far as a vase on the table, but as far as living plants. That's as far as...
Can you touch it?
All muksa you're allowed to touch if it's not going to move. We discussed that by the lachos of muksa. Any muksa, a pen, an MP3 player, I'm allowed to touch it if I'm not going to move it. Okay. Something that will for sure move when you touch, that the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't be doing, because when you touch it, it's going to move. If I have a dollar bill on the table, if I touch it, it's going to move. So if I have a hanging chandelier, if I touch it, it's going to move. Okay. So that I should not touch.
So you have a dining room, you have a big pot of plants, and you move your chair back, and you wind up in the leaves.
Okay, so that.
You know what I'm saying?
So, anyways, that's tilta begufo, because okay. you hit it with your shoulders, okay. Or you hit it with your back.
Okay.
Anyways, that would be tilta begufo. If that was done by mistake, so then that's not a problem. As far as sitting on a car, you didn't have intentions to move it, and even if you did move it, it only moved tilta begufo. I didn't push it with my hands. So that, you know, that is not such a problem.
Jeez.
But a hanging plant that you touch a leaf, you know, with your finger, you just want to touch it. That should not be allowed because, you know, the branch or that leaf will most probably move.
But you're saying like kids hanging out, leaning on a car is not a problem.
So technically leaning on a car is not a problem. We did say from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, which from the Shmir Shabbos Kachos, I should say, is that a car is something that just doesn't look right on Shabbos. I mean, technically, I could sit on the back of a car if it's not going to move, going to some place, even if it is going to move. But technically, I'm allowed to. But Shmir Shabbos Kachos says, it just doesn't look right on Shabbos. To sit on a car, you know, that just doesn't look right. But technically, as far as using muksa and touching muksa, we a hat and a jacket on a washing machine, that's allowed. But a car, you know, sitting on a car, we say, you know, preferably that should not be done.
An extension of Mrs. Sam, what she was saying about, like, let's say you're walking someplace, like, let's say there's a path between two people's houses, and there's overhanging trees, and there's, you know that there's no way you're going to get through there without your shoulder brushing against the branch.
So that's tilta begu, it's a davashena mischavin, and okay, maybe it's a psik resha, but it's psik resha, the loy nichale by the rabbanon of muksa, and it's only tilta begufo. Not a problem.
You can go through
that. If you could try to not hit it, you could try to not hit it. But if it's impossible,
ducking, but, like,
but if
still,
it's impossible, it's
tilta
begufo by a derabanan of muksa, and it's a psik resha, the lein yichalei and lo yichbaslei. I don't think that's a problem.
Let's say the situation of a path, and you and know that if you go on a regular pace through the path, you know, let's say the leaves are going to get stuck in your stroller and you're going to pull them out.
Right.
But if you push, if you use your body somehow to push it aside so that you can get the stroller through, would that be allowed?
Yeah, I don't think that'd be allowed. You move it with you, not with your hands, but you know, you move with your elbow. You know, then you're moving because you're back, right? Then you know that is tilta b'gufo. It's muksa tilta b'gufo, and even for the purpose of the muksa item, you want to be able to get through. You're allowed to do that. Yeah. You had a question?
I just wanted to know, with walking on the grass, if you could technically go around, should you, or it's really okay?
If it's really okay, it's really okay. If you have high heels and there's really a suspicion that something is going to get pulled out, a stroller or a wheelchair or high heels, preferably it sounds like from some svarim that you should preferably try to avoid it, but really it's not a problem. You don't have to make yourself crazy. If you're already past a driveway, and you don't have to go back.
No,
you don't
have
to go, right.
It's a shortcut.
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, you're allowed to. Yeah, you're allowed to. You're allowed to walk on grass. The walking grass is definitely not muksa, and it's not for sure going to detach the grass, and even if it does, it wasn't a psikration. So it's not a problem. That's as far as detaching something from the ground, detaching grass and fruits and things like that. A number of activities are also midrabanan based on kotzer, because it may lead to the malacha of kotzer. And this is the main topic that we need to discuss when it comes to the malacha of kotzer, that are also midrabanan, all are also only midrabanan, because you may come to detach a branch. Now, we're going to see as far as using a tree and climbing a tree, we're going to discuss all these halachas now, but all these gzeiros that you may come to break a branch, nobody is allowed to say, you know, come on, you know, I'm not going to break a branch. I know I'm not allowed to break a branch on Shabbos. We all know that. And I'm just climbing the tree just, you know, for a certain reason. And I just want to swing on my swing and on my hammock, and which we'll discuss. Oh, come on, give me a break. I'm not going to go ahead and do that. We do not have the power or the ability to say such a thing by this Gzeira Derabanan and by other Gzeiros Midrabanan. These are the halachos in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah and everybody else. And because of that, these halachos are clear-cut, and we have to abide by these Gzeiros Midrabanan, even if we think, oh, nowadays, come on, it's far-fetched. Still, the Chachamim were smarter than us, and we have to keep to these halachos. So these halachos, these acts are called Mishtamesh Be'ilon. Ilon is a tree, and mishtamesh be'ilon means to use a tree. A person cannot use a tree in certain manners. Now we'll see each and every case, and the suspicion is that we're concerned that you will come to break off a branch or pick off a fruit. This that you're not allowed to use a tree is even by a dead tree. Even by a dead tree that we say that still you may come to break it off, because we say across the board, a light plug, you may come to break it off. When we discuss these halachos of trees, these halachos are not going to apply by plants and grass. By plants and grass, these halachos that we're about to talk about do not apply to plants and grass, because the only time we have such a suspicion is by when there's a branch, that you may come to break off a branch of a tree and use it for something. But by plants and grass, we're not afraid you may come to break something off on purpose, because there's no fruit and there's no branch over there. We are not afraid of that. So you are allowed to lay on the grass on Shabbos. If you don't have any chairs, you want to sit outside with your kids or with your husband or whatever it is, you want to sit outside, you are allowed to sit on the grass on Shabbos. However, there's a tremendous discussion. Are you allowed to take your hands and gently, you know, rub the grass? You know, feel the grass, you know, it feels good. You rub the grass just like this. Let's say it's soft grass and it's not going to be detached. You rub it very gently. Some say that's allowed, some say that's not allowed. That is something that should preferably be avoided. The question is grass muksa? Again, you're not going to detach it, but the question is grass muksa? I don't remember if we discussed this by the halachos of muksa. Is grass muksa? The Mishnah Berurah says that grass is not muksa. It happens to be the Mishnah Berurah says grass is not muksa. Someone asks you, is grass muksa? So the grass that's attached to the ground. So clearly you're allowed to walk on it. The Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to walk on it. But as far as touching it with your hands, the Mishnah Berurah says grass is not muksa. But
so you can't sit and just put your hand like this on the grass.
So you're, as far as sitting on it, you're allowed to. As far as touching it, so the Mishnah Berurah says it's not muksa, and you would be allowed to do that. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rabbi Yashiv say that the only reason back then why grass was not muksa is because nowadays we have bathrooms inside the house. When they used to have bathrooms out in the field, So they needed grass for certain things on Shabbos. So because of that, the grass was never muksa, because they may needed the grass for after they used the bathroom. Nowadays, we don't use that. So the question is, has the halacha changed, and now all of a sudden grass becomes, not all of a sudden, but now grass becomes muksa? That's the discussion. Some say yes, some say no. Basically, what you shouldn't, preferably you should not go ahead and touch the grass with your hands, but to sit on it is allowed, even if it moves like that, especially since it's still attached, that is allowed to be done on Shabbos, but you shouldn't go ahead and specifically go ahead and touch it.
Why is that different than a tree? Why is grass and plants?
As far as what? As far as muksa?
As far as muksa.
As far as muksa, because the Mishnah Berurah says that grass was used back then for something else. When they needed to clean themselves after they used the bathroom, so they used grass. That's one of the things, the option. So they didn't rip it off on Shabbos. On Shabbos, they didn't rip it off, but they used the grass. Perhaps it was long, they didn't have, you know, they didn't cut it necessarily. So that's what the halacha says, that they used the grass.
Leaves,
perhaps, but leaves were on a tree that they weren't able to use. If it's off from before Shabbos, then maybe they did. If they designated it before Shabbos, then also back then it wouldn't be muksa. But any tree, they didn't use that on Shabbos for that act. Only grass they used. So that would be the difference between grass and trees, because they used grass but not trees. That's what muksa is all about. That's something that you're not going to use on Shabbos. Question is, nowadays across the board everything is muksa because we don't use it for that. So that's the discussion. That's good.
You
but that would be the difference.
Most people, when they're sitting in the grass and they're schmoozing and talking, even adults, you just mindlessly touch the grass.
Okay. So some people say it's not a problem. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's not a problem. The Mishnah Berurah says it's not a problem. No, pluck, you can't. No, I'm sorry. Pluck, no.
No, pluck, no. It's a mindless act.
That's why
you sit and you just not.
A person needs to be careful. Yeah, if a person knows themselves that they're going to come to do it, they should sit on a chair. I'm saying they should be careful. Now, yeah, you're 100% right. The person should. Now, if a person did mindlessly do it, quite possible it wasn't forbidden midderaisa. It was Mederach Mekalkel. It was for sure it was Mekalkel. So then, you know, it was a destructive way.
You would pull out grass and pull off a branch.
Okay, I hear, but that's not what. Yeah, quite possibly a person has to know themselves. But we don't make up new gzeiros derabanan. That the pesukim say. No, I don't mean. I'm not joking. Rosh Hashanah Arbach says many cases where we don't make up new gzeiros derabanan. In the Shulchan Aruch, it says that you may come to pluck a branch. We don't have such a chash, such a suspicion by grass. Personally, if you know yourself, then you shouldn't be doing it. Definitely, you know, you should try to avoid it. So as far as the tree itself, a person is not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. And the reason is because you may come to break off a branch. Now, I don't suspect anyone over here is going to climb a tree on Shabbos, but we have children that are above chinuch. Now, how old is, we've discussed this a number of times, how old is chinuch in this respect? Okay, it's not clear in the halacha, but if you know your child that they have reached age of chinuch, as far as these types of halachos, they should be told there's no climbing trees on Shabbos. And the reason is because you may come to break off a branch. Even if the kid says, well, I'm not going to break off a branch, that's the halacha, because you're not allowed to climb a tree. If, we're going to say very quickly, if a person didn't realize these halachos and they climb a tree, so if you did not realize it was b'shogeg, then the halacha is that if we tell you to stay on the tree the whole Shabbos, you're continuously using the tree. So the halacha is that you're supposed to come down from the tree. We say you're allowed to come down. Some say you even have to come down. When you climb down the tree, you're also using the tree. But still, since you went up by mistake, so we say it's better don't sit there and use the tree. The whole Shabbos, you should specifically come down from the tree. If a person goes up and mazes it on purpose, then we give him a penalty, we give him a knas, and we say you're not allowed to climb down the tree, because when you're climbing down the tree, you're also using the tree. So we knas him that you have to stay up there the whole Shabbos. Okay, so a little kid, I didn't say kid.
No,
so,
okay, even a kid who is already like 10
okay.
years old.
So there's exceptions. So there's exceptions. So there's a few ways out. First of all, if a person needs to go to the bathroom, the halacha is then they're allowed to go down. You're allowed, if a person is going to become sick, then they're allowed to, and a child also. It's much more lenient when it comes to that. If a person's going to be sick, they're allowed to come down. Chances are the kid, anyways, was b'shegig. He didn't know these halachas, he didn't realize. Anyways, then he'll be allowed to come down. And besides, Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach says that since if a person could not climb down the tree, which is by using the tree, but just jump off in one act, then quite possibly that would also be permitted, because that's not using the tree, you just jump off. So there, Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach says maybe that would be permitted. Anyways, for a child, I'm sure one of these applies. Either with a b'shogeg, or he needs to use the bathroom, quite possibly, or he's going to become sick, or he could just jump off, and in those situations he'll be allowed to come off.
What about a
tree house? A tree house, so in the tree itself, that's what we discussed so far. Let's discuss things that are on the tree. We're going to get to that next. soon. Besides climbing a tree, you're also not allowed to lean on a tree, even if it's not going to move. Besides, moving the tree is a problem, but leaning on a tree and using the tree is not a problem. It is not allowed. It's considered leaning on a tree. What's considered leaning on a tree? What the barometer is, that if the tree would disappear, which it's not going to, but if the tree would just, in the middle of nowhere, disappear, and a person would fall, then that means that they were leaning on the tree. If they were just very, very lightly leaning on the tree and it wasn't moving, then if the tree would disappear, nothing would happen. So then that's considered as if they weren't leaning on the tree. But if they were, if the tree would disappear, they would fall. So then we say that that is considered they were leaning on the tree. And if you're schmoozing with somebody outside or after shul or something like that, and you're just schmoozing, you want to lean back on the tree, that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos, because that is also considered using the tree, leaning on the tree. If a person wants to tie their shoe, and it's hard to tie your shoe, just, you know, pick up 1 foot or something like that, so a person wants to lean on the tree to tie their shoe, that is also considered using the tree. That's not allowed. I think we discussed at one point in Halachas Muksa that kids use a tree for a base or for a tap-tap trio. You know, they run or they're running and they want to stop their run, to break their run, they use the tree. That's also considered using a tree. That's not allowed. Again, you have to get into what's considered chinuch for them. But you want to tell them, listen, you need a base, don't use the tree, use something else, use the swing set, or use something. Definitely better if they need a base, to not use the tree as their base, but to use something else. Placing or leaning an object on a tree is also considered using a tree. So if you're outside and you're wearing a jacket and all of a sudden it gets pretty hot, or you have a hat and you want a sweater, a jumper, and you want to hang it up on a tree, that is not allowed to be done on Shabbos, even if the tree is not going to move. Hanging up a big branch, you're not allowed to hang something on a tree or lean anything on a tree. Also, you can't shake a tree, besides the issue of muksa, but it's the same idea over here, as far as that's also considered using the tree. You're not allowed to go ahead and shake a tree. That's also considered using a tree. Anytime we're going to discuss swings and hammocks and things like that, if the tree's going to move, then it's not allowed. If it's not such a strong tree and you're swinging on it, then that's going to cause the tree to move. That is not allowed to be used on Shabbos. But just touching it is allowed.
But if it's a strong tree and you have a hammock, you're saying
we're going to get more into hammocks. But as far as moving the tree itself, if the tree's going to move, then even if you have a permitted way of a hammock, which we'll discuss in a moment, if the tree's going to move, then that's not allowed. It depends on how stark the tree is. You could use it for shade for sure. Yeah, you're allowed to use it for shade. Not a problem. Definitely. That's not called using the tree. That's not called using the tree. It's a good point, but that's not called using the actual tree.
So if you're walking on the street and your shoelace is untied, it's better to lean on a car and tie it than on the tree?
Good point. Yeah, if you need to. Yeah, if you know the tree's not going to move and you know the car's not going to move, so that's not an issue. Yeah, there's an isser of using a tree, but there's no isser of using a car. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, it would look weird. If we ask any unlearned person, they would for sure it's better on a tree. A car, you know, stay away from a car. But you're right. You know, if you need to lean on something, it's better to lean on a car than to lean on a tree. Also, the Rama says they're not allowed to take off an object from a tree. Not allowed to take off an object from a tree. If you have a sweater hanging, you know, you ask your daughter, "Hey, where's your sweater?" "Oh, I hung it up on the tree yesterday outside." And she was playing outside Friday afternoon and she hung up her sweater, your son hung up his coat on the tree before Shabbos. You're not allowed to take something off a tree. Again, this is even if the tree's not going to move, even if the branch is not going to move. You're not allowed to remove something from a tree on Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says two different reasons in two different places. One reason is because that's also called using the tree. Even if I just remove something from the tree, that's called using the tree. Or it's that you may come to lean on the tree when you're coming to remove it. Either way, you're not allowed to remove something from a tree. Not only that, people don't realize this, and I didn't realize this till I learned the halacha, that you're not allowed to put something on a tree before Shabbos if it's something that you're probably going to become to remove on Shabbos. Meaning, let's say you have a sweater or a jacket that you know you're going to be using on Shabbos. So you're not allowed to put it there on Friday for the leaving it there for Shabbos because you may come to remove it on Shabbos. Now, this is only by something that you may come to remove, an item of clothing or something like that, something that you need, that you're not allowed to put there on Friday because you may come to remove it on Shabbos. If something that you're not going to come to remove, then of course it's not a problem. You're allowed to hang up a swing or a hammock on Friday for the purpose of leaving there on Shabbos because you're not going to remove it. But something that you may come to remove, that you're not allowed to do even on Friday. Let's say a ball. This is what we were discussing, I think, last week at one point. Let's say a ball gets stuck in a tree. So the halacha is, all these halachas that we're discussing now about a tree is only when it's above three tefachim. Only if it's above three tefachim. If it's three tefachim, if it's less than three tefachim from the ground, then we say that's considered part of the ground, and then that's not a problem. How long is three tefachim? So as all shiurim, tefach and amah, it's a machlokas how big it is. Or Moshe Feinstein says a tefach is 3.75 inches. So three tefachim is, you do the math quickly, I should have it written here, so I didn't have to do the math, but I don't have it. So it's 11.25, right? 11.25 tefachim, which is less than a foot, it's not so much, but that's already three tefachim. Anything above that, so if you have a ball stuck in a bush or a tree more than 11.25 inches off of the ground, you're not allowed to take it out on Shabbos. A lot of people don't realize that. You're not allowed to take it out on Shabbos. Your kids ask you, oh, I can't reach it, could you get it? So if you can't reach it, it's more than a foot off the ground, you can't get it off on Shabbos, even if the tree's not going to move. You're not allowed to take something off of a tree, remove it from the tree on Shabbos. For sure, to shake the tree, you're not allowed to do it. That to climb the tree is not allowed to be done. But even just to remove it from the tree, it's not allowed to be done. The ball has to stay there for Shabbos.
It's like a bush.
A bush as well, yeah. A bush is the same type of halacha. It has like branches, little branches. We say those halachas. To sit on a tree, let's say you're not leaning on the tree, but you're sitting on the roots. You know, the roots extend out sometimes on the tree. That's on the ground. That's less than 11.25 inches. That's not a problem. But anything higher is a problem. As far as sitting on a tree stump, you know, let's say you're in the country or something. Can you sit on a tree stump? It's totally cut off. But there's a tree stump, and it's higher than a foot off the ground. So there's a machlokas, are you allowed to sit on that on Shabbos? Some say yes, some say no. If you have nowhere else to sit, I guess you'll be allowed to. The Aruch HaShulchan says it will be allowed. Other places can say it's not allowed. If you have nowhere else to sit, or somebody else, you see somebody else sitting on a tree stump that's higher than 11.25 inches off the ground, preferably not. But if you see somebody doing it, you know, you can't tell them it's us. Or there are those places that say that since it's totally cut down, so there we don't have such a suspicion or anything, and there'll be like, right, there's no branches, there's nothing to do. But the question is that you make what's called like a low plug, that across the board, since this used to be a tree, even though it's cut down, that's considered using a tree, and then that would not be allowed. Again, there are those that say it's permitted, but
why
some say
it's not. Why can't you designate that as a chair?
Well, let's say you didn't designate it.
But I'm saying, can you mentally designate?
Designated
that as a
worked for muksa machmas gufo. If something was muksa, so then we designated before, then we say that was designated. It's not muksa. It's not set aside. That's designated. But something like this, designation doesn't help. If there's an issa derabanan to use a tree, there's an issa derabanan to use a tree. Well, you can't. Designation is not going to help with that. Included in the issa of using a tree is using something that is supported by the tree. I mean, an elon is a tree. These are called side elon, the sides of a tree. Literally, it's called the sides of a tree, but it doesn't have to be on the side. Anything supported by a tree, midrabanan, is included in all these isurim of a tree. So you wanted to know as far as a treehouse. So let's say you have a treehouse. So all the wood, I'm not touching the tree, but I'm just staying in the treehouse. So if a person could get up there somehow without climbing, so let's say they get up there somehow, but in the tree house is also not allowed, because that's supported by the tree. That's not allowed. That's included in the isurim of the tree itself. You have a ladder leaning on a tree. That's also, it's leaning on the tree. That is the same isurim. You're not allowed to climb that ladder, even if you're not going to climb onto the tree itself. Just to climb up that ladder is not allowed to do on Shabbos, because that's connected to the tree. If you have a swing or a hammock that's tied around the tree, you are not allowed to use that on Shabbos, even if the tree is not going to move. That is what's called Sidei Ilan. Now, I know across the street by the Rosenfeld, they have a tire hanging from a rope, and the rope is connected to the tree. So you swing back and forth on Shabbos, the rope is moving. That rope is connected to the tree. That's not allowed to be done. My family and I were walking back from a Kiddush, and we saw the swings, and we know the Rosenfelds were... We were classmates since Pru-N-A, and my kids wanted to play in it, so they for sure would have let, but it was Shabbos. I looked up, I saw the rope was connected to the tree. That's not allowed, because even though you're not touching the rope, you're touching just the tire or the swing. No, but since the tire is two steps removed, but the rope is only one step removed, and I'm moving the rope, I'm swinging back and forth with the rope, even though I'm not touching the rope, but I'm using the rope. I am using the rope.
It's okay if it was on a hook.
Okay, we'll get to that next. But anything that's directly attached, you have a hammock. A hammock's wrapped around the tree. Let's say you have two trees in your backyard, and you have a hammock attached to it. You're not allowed to lay on that hammock, even if the tree's not going to move, because that is using the tzidei ha'ilon, and that is not allowed. Before we get to hooks on these things, but the same also, we have, let's say, a jacket hanging from a tree. So, okay, I know I'm not allowed to touch the jacket that's hanging on the tree. I'm also not allowed to take something out of the pocket of a jacket that's hanging on a tree. Because the jacket is the tzidei ilan, the jacket is supported by the tree, and now when I take something out of the pocket or put something in the pocket, I am using the tzidei ilan, I'm using what's connected to a tree, connected meaning touching and supported by the tree. So that's okay, you know, I can't use the coat on Shabbos, I know that now, but I also can't take something out of the pocket, even if it's something that's not muksa. I'm sorry? If it's your house key, right, if it's your house key, that's it's a problem, right, you can't take it out, that's using the tzidei ilan. But it's mutter, as you all alluded to, it's mutter to use something that is twice removed from a tree. So if you have a hook in a tree, and then the swing is attached to the hook, or the hammock is attached to the hook, so then you're allowed to use the swing, you're allowed to use the tree, if the tree doesn't move. Again, if the tree doesn't move, but then you're allowed to use it and the hook is not moving. So you're allowed to use the hammock, you're allowed to use the swing, whether it's a tire or a chair swing, a bench swing, whatever it is. If it's tzidei tzadin, if it's twice removed from the tree, then we say that is allowed. Similarly, if the jacket is hanging from a nail on the tree, you have a nail in the tree and the jacket is hanging from the tree, so then you can't take the jacket off of the nail. You can't take the jacket off of the nail, but you could take something out of the pocket of the jacket that's hanging on the nail that's on the tree. It's just basically, it sounds complicated, but it's really not. If it's supported by the tree, we give it the same halachos as the tree itself. If it's twice removed, then we say it's considered mutter. A clothesline. Now, I'm sure all of us here have dryers at home. Well, no, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
If the hammock is on a hook and the hook is connected to the tree, then we say the hammock is considered two steps removed from the tree, then you're allowed to sit on the hammock on Shabbos. You're allowed to use that hammock on Shabbos because that's twice removed from the tree.
If
the hook won't move, I don't suggest sitting on it even during the week.
But I don't know why you can't take your coat jacket off the nail.
Because you are removing something from the nail. The nail is considered connected to the tree, and the nail has the din of a tree. You're not allowed to remove something from a tree, directly from a tree. And the same way you're not allowed to remove something directly from a tree, you're not allowed to remove something from something connected to the tree. So if the hook is connected to the tree, I can't even remove the jacket from the hook, because I'm removing something from a tzidei ilan. I'm removing something from something that's connected to a tree. But I could take something from the pocket of the jacket that's on the hook that's connected to the tree. It's like Chad Gadya. You know, you just have to back and forth. A clothesline. So most of us here have dryers, but let's say you're up in the bungalow, you're up in the mountains, or there's certain items of clothing that cannot be put in the dryer, you know better than me. So let's say you want to hang it up on a clothesline. So if the clothesline is hanging from the house, we don't have any of these issues. Bez Hashem, when we get the schus to learn the malachas of Malabin, we'll discuss hanging out clothes on Shabbos and those halachas, but let's say it's something that's permitted to be hung out on Shabbos. So assuming we're talking about those items of clothing, so a person needs to be careful. Where is their clothesline connected to? If the clothesline is connected to a tree, it's wrapped around two trees, so then that's the connected to a tree. It's tzidei ilan. You can't hang items of clothing on a rope that's on a tree. If there is a wheel, let's say there's a hook on the tree and then the line is connected to the hook, then you're allowed to, because that's tzidei tzadin. Let's say you have a wheel, so you have a wheel connected to the tree and then the line connected to the wheel. So then again, the wheel is double, then the line is double, is twice removed from the tree. You're not allowed to move the wheel if the wheel is connected to the tree, but I don't see how the wheel can connect to the tree. The wheel is, let's say, on a hook. It's just simple. You have to keep in mind every halacha that if it's directly connected to a tree, then even though you're not using the tree itself, but using the tzidei ilan, using what's connected to the tree, that is also not allowed. If it's twice removed, then you are allowed to use it, and yes, you can move the objects that are connected to the tree.
The line itself, you couldn't like take off.
The line itself is connected to the tree, right? That you can move, and you connect it to the tree. Then you can move. If it's connected to the hook, then the line is considered twice removed, and then you're allowed to use it. You're allowed to move it. You're allowed to use it. Yeah.
No, because that's like the jacket on the nail.
The what? Oh, to remove it from there, right? You're not removing. If you remove it, then that's a problem. But just to move the line, then that's not a problem. To remove it would be a problem. One last halacha in regards to this, or two last halachas, and then we'll get to playing ball on Shabbos just to finish up from last week, is the following. You're not allowed to smell fruit that's on a tree. Even you're not touching it, you have fruit, let's say in your backyard or wherever you are, you're not allowed to smell fruit that's on a tree, and the reason is that you were afraid you may come to pick the fruit off on Shabbos. Well, flowers, we'll get to flowers in a moment. But fruit, you're not allowed to smell. I have no intention of picking it off. But Chazal were afraid that you could just quickly, before you know it, just pick a fruit off of the tree because it looks good, it looks delicious, and we're afraid you may come to pick it off on Shabbos. That is not allowed to be done. But you are allowed to smell flowers that are connected on Shabbos. Of course, if they're disconnected. But even if they're connected on Shabbos, you're allowed to smell the flowers. And the difference is quite obvious that for fruit, I may want to eat it, so I may come to pick it off. For a flower, all that I could use it for is to smell. I don't need to pick it off to smell. I could smell it without picking it off. I don't gain anything by picking it off. So we don't suspect that we're not concerned that you may come to pick off the flower on Shabbos. So if I see a rose on Shabbos, I'm allowed to bend down and smell the rose. That will be allowed. As far as moving the rose, the plant or the flower, like we discussed before, as far as the grass, the Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to even move the plant or flower. I would imagine that's the Mishnah Berurah, you know, going along with his opinion that you're allowed to even move the grass. We saw other Paiskim maybe said it should not be done, so I would imagine over here also should not be done. Perhaps nowadays it's muksa, but that would probably get back into that halacha, but definitely allowed to smell flowers, but you should not be smelling fruit. If the fruit fell off on Shabbos, let's say you have an apple tree in your backyard, I know my parents do, at least they used to, and you come in the backyard and you see there's apples on the floor. So an apple that was connected, this is a muksa question, an apple that was connected to the tree when Shabbos started, was muksa when Shabbos started. We discussed those halachos of once something's muksa by Ben Shmashos, it remains muksa the whole Shabbos. Even if it fell off on Shabbos, it still is muksa, you're not allowed to touch it, you're not allowed to move it, it's muksa. And besides the halachos of ma'amer, you're not allowed to collect more than one fruit from where it fell on Shabbos. Other halachos that we're not going to get into, but if you see an apple on the floor on Shabbos, even if you didn't take it off, it's still quite possibly it's muksa if it was connected at the beginning of Shabbos. One last halacha as far as we discussed using trees, but also you're not allowed to use animals. Now besides the fact that animals are muksa and pets are muksa, as we discussed by the halachas of muksa, but you're not allowed to put something on an animal, you're not allowed to take something off an animal, unless there's like the psukim talk about, you know, there's a heavy package on an animal and you need to tzar bal chayim, you need to remove it, but we're not talking about that. But even if you don't touch your animal, you're not allowed to put something on an animal, the same type of idea, that it's similar to a tree, that we're afraid that you may come to ride it, and then you may come to lean on the animal and use an animal, because then you may come to ride it, you may break off a branch, even if it's an animal that you're not going to ride, it's a dog, it's not a horse. We say across the board, you're not allowed to use, to put something on an animal and to use an animal.
I don't have a dog. But like if you have a dog, you need to take him for a walk.
Okay, so we discussed walking dogs on Shabbos. Many Paiskim say you're not allowed to walk a dog on Shabbos. There are some Paiskim that say you would be allowed to walk a dog on Shabbos. Yeah, if you want to put the leash on the dog on Shabbos, quite possibly they'll be even more strict. The same type of halacha, they're not allowed to put something. It has nothing to do with the halachas of muksa. This is a separate gzer midrabanan that would not be allowed. Muksa, we could say, oh, it's designated, it's my animal, so it's my pet, and I designated it to use as a toy because I want it to sit on my lap. Maybe. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach say that doesn't work, so it's still muksa. But maybe others disagree. But as far as putting something on the dog, you know, that I would imagine would not be allowed.
Okay,
if it's already on, then maybe that will be allowed. Yeah, it's a collar, then you attach something to the collar. Maybe that will also get involved in Sidei Ilan. Could be. If you're in Central Park on Shabbos, let's say you're walking, taking for a walk, and you got lost, and you ended up in Central Park, and you want to go on one of these wagons on Shabbos. So the law is they're not allowed to sit on a wagon on Shabbos that's pulled by a horse, even though it's twice removed, because there's a rope connected to the wagon. But the Mishnah Berurah says that over here, there's different reasons why it's usur, but the rope and the wagon is considered all one, because the other reasons is because the horse is pulling the wagon itself directly, you know, through the rope, it's pulling the wagon. So sitting on a wagon in Central Park and going for a ride is not allowed. That's considered as if, why are you shaking your head? You wanted
there
to do it?
Oh,
there go your Shabbos plan. But that is not allowed. That's also considered as if you're using the horse, even though it's twice removed. So we see these halachos also by an animal as far as once removed and twice removed. But we say that even though there's the rope connected to the wagon, that is not allowed. You think I'm going to make a joke. They're like, oh, okay, who's going to Central Park? In the olden days, they didn't have cars. They used horse and buggies. I mean, that's what they used. For them, this was a very important halacha. Fine, I'm just saying it anyway, because just in case, you know, it's ever nageya, so that is not allowed to be done. If your car breaks down and you want to use a horse and buggy, so then that is also not allowed on Shabbos.
Hatzalah wagons,
right. Okay. Let's just discuss, hold on 1 second, I'll take your question afterwards. We discussed playing ball on Shabbos. Now, I was deciding the whole week if I should press off on my MP3 player when we discuss these halachas of playing ball, because you'll just see why in a second, but we'll keep it on because just in case anybody listened to the shiur last week and they want to listen to this week as far as playing ball. One thing we discussed was, and this is the question that I really wanted to know, and some of you wanted to know as well, that we discussed as far as rolling balls, rolling kudalach and soccer and things like that on Shabbos. So we said that it's not allowed because you may come to smoothen the ground. So what we all wanted to know, and I myself wanted to know, was let's say it's a game that's done in the air. I'm having a catch. I want to have a catch. So is that allowed? It's a game that's in the air. So I was talking to people, and I looked back at the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura says clearly that that's not a problem. Mishnah Brura said that's not a problem as far as mashvagumas, as far as, you know, smoothing the ground. If you're having a catch with somebody, that is not a problem in regards to, oh, you may come to smoothing the ground. It's not that we aser all ball. It's just saying that something that's ball that's played on the ground, the game that's on the ground, there we have such a suspicion, such a concern, but having a catch with somebody is not a problem. Tetherball would also not be a problem because that's a game that's played in the air. Frisbee would also not be a problem. That's a game that's played in the air. Just L'Rav Chodemulsa, I saw in Rabbi Ribiat Sefer, in his section on Haitzah, about carrying. If you're somewhere where there's no Erev, or you don't use the Erev, so he says you're allowed to play tetherball on Shabbos, because you're not carrying, and it's not moving, so he says you're allowed to play tetherball. We're not going to, fine. But it's very much, tetherball means it's like connected to a rope, and you hit it around, you have to get it around and around the rope. I also didn't know what it was till last week, and then they explained to me. I mean, I knew the game, but I didn't know that's what it was called. So you could start saying, oh, you see, the Rabbi had said that it's not a problem of Haitzah, so therefore he says you could play on Shabbos. So that makes it sound like you're allowed to play it on Shabbos, and there's no problem either of Mashvagumois, because Rabbi Rubiat always does that. If there's something's permitted in one way, but it's usher in a different way, he'll tell you that, oh, see that section, that it's not allowed because of a different malacha. He says you're allowed to play tetherball on Shabbos, there's no problem of Haitzah, and there's no problem of Mashvagumois. So fine, I was very happy that that's not a problem. I went to Rabbi Sachs, and I said, you know, as far as playing ball on Shabbos, how about if it's a game in the air? I said, you know, the women wanted to know, and I myself wanted to know, let's say it's a game in the air, you know, volleyball and tetherball and things like that. He said, all ball on Shabbos is asur midaraisa. I said, asur midaraisa? He said, yeah, because based on a Ramban, and based on a Rambam, that it's Shabbos, and that you have to rest on Shabbos, and this is considered working on Shabbos. So I said, I know it's not Shabbos Dik, and that is obvious, and I spoke to the woman about that it's not Shabbos Dik, and as far as age of chinuch and things like that. He said, no. Asur midaraisa. I said, but what about like frisbee and asur midaraisa, frisbee, volleyball, tetherball, all asur midaraisa. So the reason why I didn't want to put this on is because the Mishnah Brura says not like that. Everybody says not like that. So he's understanding that the Ramban that says that a person needs to rest on Shabbos, even if you don't do malach, you need to rest. So he said that's not called rest. The Shulchan Aruch says that, you know, that if you enjoy what you're doing, that's not called a lack of rest. He's telling you that, he said, I said, what about chinuch? Like, what's the age of chinuch for this halacha? He said, Asur midaraisa. He didn't even get to first base. It's Asur midaraisa. He said, I spoke to the YBH boys about this, that nothing. He says, no shooting hoops, no any organized sports. He says, in the house you could play, which we said last week from Rabbi Yashim, Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to play in the house as far as mashvagumais. But he said, in the house, you know, I'm not going to stop them, but outside any organized sports. I said, what about cat? Nothing. All Asur midaraisa. So most places can say not like that, and it seems like a tremendous chiddush that the Ramban didn't talk about bull. The Ramban talked about that if, you know, you have a businessman sitting in his store and not doing any melacha, and he's just doing business with his workers all Shabbos, and Ramban says that's asur midaraisa. First of all, the question is if we paskin like the Ramban, the Mishnah Brura never brings the Ramban. And anyways, that's talking about doing business all Shabbos, and not necessarily talking about playing ball, you know, having a catch in the backyard. Those of you who want to 100% go with Rabbi Sachs, whether he's your Rav or you want to go with him, then your kids should not be playing ball on Shabbos. I spoke to many other people, and, you know, many Paiskim say that, you know, other Paiskim and other Tamid Chachamim say that it's not a problem. Mishnah Brura seems to say it's not a problem. That's basically what comes out as far as my extra research on playing ball on Shabbos. That's basically that. So Be'ez Hashem, next week, like we said, there's no shir, and after that, we'll be able, Mr. Hashem, to continue with the positive commandments of Shabbos.